The genealogy of Jesus the Messiah. The genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob. Jacob, the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez, the father of Hezron. Hezron, the father of Ram. Ram, the father of Amminadab. Amminadab, the father of Nashon. Nashon, the father of Salmon. Salmon was the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse was the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. Solomon, the father of Roboam, and Roboam, the father of Abijah. Abijah, the father of Asa. Asa, the father of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, the father of Jehoram. And Jehoram was the father of Uzziah. Uzziah was the father of Jotham. Jotham, the father of Ahaz. Ahaz was the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was the father of Manasseh. Manasseh was the father of Amon. Amon, the father of Josiah. And Josiah, the father of Jeconiah. And his brothers at the time of the exile to Babylon. After the exile to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel. Shealtiel was the father of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was the father of Abihud. Abihud, the father of Eliakim. Eliakim was the father of Azor. Azor was the father of Zadok. Zadok was the father of Achim. Achim, the father of Elihud. Elihud, the father of Elazar. Elazar was the father of Matan. And Matan was the father of Jacob. And Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. And Mary was the mother of Jesus, who is called the Messiah. Thus, there were 14 generations in all, from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Messiah. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning, everyone. I think we ought to say that Paul did that very well. Thank you, Paul. I also only really realised as we were praying together before the service that it had indeed been Will's idea to preach on this passage, and then somehow I've ended up with it. So thank you, Will. I wonder how many of us have heard a sermon. I think I have once before heard a sermon on this genealogy, the family tree of Jesus. How interesting that Matthew decides to begin his gospel with this long list of names, some very complicated names. You might have thought he would have jumped straight in to talking about Jesus that begins in verse 18 with the exciting news of his birth. But such detail was really important to the Jews to whom Matthew was writing. And if you look at verse 1, it summarizes the key things about Jesus. A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Abraham. The Son of David was a title for the Messiah. The Son of Abraham, very important to identify Jesus as the Son of Abraham for the Jewish people. Abraham was that great father of their nation. Those words declare right at the beginning who this Jesus is. And there's a fascination with family trees in our time as well, isn't there? The popular program, Who Do You Think You Are?, reveals to celebrities aspects of their family tree, and they find that they've relatives who were members of royalty or who died in concentration camps of the Second World War. Surprises and sadnesses are revealed. Perhaps you have someone in your family who is working to put together your family tree, and it can be fascinating who you meet across the generations and the years. My mum did a little bit of work on it for our family, and I know that I have somebody in my family tree called Polly Pentecost, which is a pretty cool name, isn't it? So we find Jesus' family tree here from Abraham onwards. And Will and I thought that we could have a bit of fun with this morning, looking at these generations of Jesus' family. So I need my glamorous assistant, Will Hunter Smart. We're going to put this. Okay. Go for it. Whoop, that's me. Now, about 40 of you were given a card as you came in this morning with a name on it, and we're going to create Jesus' family tree. Okay, whoop, it's coming back. So, starting with Abraham under the tower, if you've got a green card, a name written in green on your piece of card, would you like to go and stand in the space under the tower? And Will's going to get you in the right order, but you can probably help him with that. There should be about 13 of you to stand in that space. So that's the green cards. So we've got somebody's will have Ram, which I've written as well. So sorry. Okay, right, okay. So, if you have a blue name written on a card, you're in the next section. So go and see if you can get yourselves in the right order. Brilliant. This is verses 6 to 11. If your name is in those verses with a blue name. This is glorious chaos, isn't it? Okay, so and finally, if you have a red name, go and stand in the next section from Jeconia onwards up to Jesus. Fantastic. Are you in line at the back now? Yes, great. These are some great names in this final section. Eliakim. Azor. Zadok's got a place to stand. Stand on Zadok. Fantastic. Is the second section in order now? Yes, are we? That's Matthew. Matthew is Matthew. Matthew is Matthew. Are we done? Okay. What could possibly go wrong now? So we think we're in order. So, starting with Abraham at the back, when I say go, we're each going to shout out our names in order. So, Abraham, go for it. Jesus. I think there's a little couple the wrong way around, but well done, everybody. Well done. You can sit down now. Fantastic. Thank you so much for your help. Hope that wasn't too painful. It's a great visual picture of 42 generations from Abraham to Jesus. So this morning, as we look at Jesus' family tree, I just wanted to pull out 3 points, great points, as we go into Christmas and 2024. Firstly, Jesus' family tree reminds us that the story of the Christian faith is a true story. It might feel that it's a strange way to begin with a list of names, but it tells us it's a true story, real people, real lives down the years. The New Testament doesn't begin with once upon a time, but with a family tree. As I said earlier, there's a great tradition for family trees in the Hebrew Bible. They're in Genesis and Chronicles as well. And it's important because Jewish hopes and longings were centered around a family tree because a child was promised from the family of Israel. A child on whom the hope of the nations rested. It's there in Isaiah 9. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it from that time on and forever. One day, a child would be born who was born to be king and who would be a king in the line of David. So the family tree was really important. At the time of Jesus' birth, there hadn't been a king from David's family for at least 200 years. And now Matthew shows that here is a child born of David's line and in whom the hopes and fears of all the years are met. This, he says, is the birth you have been waiting for. The birth and life of Jesus is not a fairy tale or a made-up story. Jesus really lived. He has a family line that links him to King David. It's a true story. Jesus is rooted in a particular time and place with a particular family. He is a real historical figure. It's a true story. Secondly, Jesus' family tree reminds us that family life can be messy and complicated. There are 5 women listed in these verses. It's surprising that women are there at all. In that culture, they weren't important. It was the men who mattered, and society and the home were dominated by men. But also, the women named are not the famous women that we might expect from the Old Testament. We don't hear of Abraham's wife Sarah or Isaac's wife Rebekah. The ones mentioned are Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, Uriah's wife, not even given her name, and Mary, the mother of Jesus. How amazing that Matthew includes these less likely women. It's likely that apart from Mary, they were all non-Jews. so they were even more on the edges and outsiders. Tamar and Rahab were Canaanites. Ruth, a Moabite. Bathsheba, Uriah's wife, was probably a Hittite. God uses these women who are outsiders, and so we see that Jesus' family includes and will include people from all nations. Three of these women also have troubled histories: Tamar, Rahab, and Bathsheba. Their lives are overshadowed by shame and abuse and misuse and bad relationships and situations where they've been taken advantage of. They've been vulnerable women, powerless and open to exploitation. How amazing that in this ancient text we find the situations of many women today. And so we see that these women are lifted. There is no shame in Jesus' family. They are worthy of a place there. What a wonderful sign that Jesus steps into the messiness of our broken lives and our broken family lives and changes us and uses us. We are welcome in. Never think that you are excluded because of your past or your shame or your family background. At the end of that family tree comes Jesus. Jesus has entered into that messiness. It's part of his history too. He's not ashamed of those names, but he comes to put things right. And then there are some of the men. Some of them we don't know much about. Some of them walked with God, but then their children turned away. Rehoboam had Solomon and David as his father and grandfather. Great heritage. But yet we read in the Old Testament that he abandoned the law of the Lord. Of Jehoram, Amon, and Jeconiah, we read that they did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Despite the good examples of godly kings and godly living that had gone before them, they turned their backs on God and lived and ruled the nation as they chose, abandoning God and his ways. Many of us will have experienced the pain of having brought our children up in the ways of God, given them good examples, only for them to choose to live without reference to God. It's painful, and it's there in Jesus' family too. A reminder that he enters and understands our messy lives. He is God with us. Do not lose heart. Do not stop praying for your family. We can only do so much. Only God's grace and the work of his Spirit changes lives. And then thirdly, Jesus' family tree reminds us that God is faithful. God had promised that through Abraham, all nations would be blessed. He had promised King David that there would always be a king on David's throne, that his house and kingdom will last forever. This family tree is less about the people in it, but much more about God. Despite all that these people do wrong, all the ways in which at least some of them fail to walk with God, he carries on the family line and will be faithful to all he has promised. David is a key person in this family tree. He's mentioned at the beginning and the end and twice in the middle. Matthew wants his readers to make this link with David. Key to this family tree, and indeed Matthew's gospel, is that Jesus is a son of David. God has been faithful to his promise to David that one of his sons would reign forever. And here it is now fulfilled in Jesus. Matthew speaks into the darkness of 400 years of silence from God since the end of the Old Testament. He mentions exile in verses 11 and 12. And now here is the promised son of David coming to the rescue. Hope is in this child to be born. The people of Israel, although returned from exile, are still waiting for God to rescue Israel from sin and to see the promised restoration. The baby at the end of this line is God's anointed one, the long-awaited, long-promised Messiah, to set his people free. People from all nations to set them free from sin and death. Now is the moment. God is faithful. The promises we read about in his word will be fulfilled. What he says, he will do. If you walk with him, he won't let you go. He will be with you forever, no matter what life throws at you. Jesus' family tree shows us that God is working out his purposes across the centuries, and he is faithful, even at the time, if at the time we can't see what he's doing. History, past, present, and future is safe in his hands. Our life is safe in his hands. In Jesus' family tree, we find a reminder that we are celebrating a real event. It's a true story, real lives, real families, real struggles. God moves in individual lives. He knows us. He enters our messiness and works his purpose out. He is faithful, and he is God with us, always. Who do you think you are? If you are a follower of Jesus, you are a member of his family, part of his extended family tree. You are called, loved, and kept, now and forever, by the one who is faithful. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that when you sent your son, you sent him to a real family with a history. We thank you so much that he shares all the complexities of family life. Thank you that he is God with us in the midst of it all. And we thank you that this family line shows us how faithful you are. And we praise you this morning. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.